so you started growing up in Santa Cruz?
No, I didn't grow up in Santa Cruz. Actually, I was born in Philadelphia, but I grew up in London. And I grew up in London, and I was there from when I was 4 till I was 17, and then I moved to California, and I was in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
I was in Los Angeles for a couple of years, and then I moved to Santa Cruz.
Right, but then you realized when you came to New Orleans that the 11th commandment would be, thou shalt not commit adulthood.
Yeah.
So you really didn't grow up then. Yeah. You're still growing up.
I'm still growing up, in fact, yeah.
So, okay, I didn't know that. So you got to Santa Cruz right at the tender age of 17.
Yeah, I was in Santa Cruz. Exactly.
And London most of your life. And London before that?
London, yeah, 12 years in London, pretty much. I mean, I was in Wales for part of a year.
Did you learn to speak English there?
No. And, yeah, I was in boarding school in Ipswich for a couple of years there.
Wow. And then, so when did you, what instrument did you first become interested in?
Well, you know, when I was really young, I wanted to play violin. Because I guess I'd seen my grandfather or some people, they were like Hungarians, not that he played, but there was violins in the house when I was a baby, and I think I was sort of taken by that, and I liked orchestral music already, I was very young in it.
Really?
But then, I wasn't allowed, I got to England, and the school that I went to, they gave me a test to see, you know, which note's higher or lower, and of course, it's a metaphor, and you know, you can tell I was already in some kind of rebellion against regular, you know, unexplained systems for the people just accept for doing shit. Maybe it was already in my brain, but I didn't understand the metaphor of higher and lower, so I was just guessing he's hitting notes, so I'm going, this is higher and lower. So they pegged me as not musical, so I couldn't play violin at that school. Later, I switched schools, and they said, oh, well, you can play an instrument, but we want you to play cello because we have enough violinists hanging around, so they made me play cello. So I really played cello for a lot of years.
Wow.
Cello from when I was about 6 till I was 15, I guess. So I was 15.
Dang, bro.
Yeah. I can't say I was real good. It's dope.
That's 9 years.
Yeah, 9 years of cello.
And you study, you like learn to read music that way? Or?
Yeah, I read music. I mean, I sort of forgot. You know, I could read music on the cello. I mean, I read bass clef as you do. And
you said you always liked orchestral music, but and that was from your family just having records or something? Or?
Yeah, they had records around. I mean, I remember specifically, like, there were certain records. Like, I really liked, my father had these Beethoven records. I remember I used to sit home, you know, as soon as they showed me how to work the record player, I was really into putting on the records.
You're a lucky man. My father was into Ray Conniff singers. So
yeah.
You consider yourself lucky.
Yeah, well, I mean, that wasn't all that was there. I mean, I remember specifically I liked, they also had an Otis Redding double album that I was just really taken by when I was a kid, and they had, you know, the Beatles record where they're looking off the balcony, the red and blue double albums, you know, the compilation records, which
right.
I was kind of obsessed with, and then, and these Beethoven records that I loved, that's mostly it, and I remember they had a Beach Boys record, and I thought that was really cool, and that was, so I used to just sit in the house and listen to these things over and over again. But
that's quite an array.
Yeah.
Now, what would you, what do you, if any, what do Beethoven and Robert Johnson, what would they have in common?
Well, what they have in common is that they're both human beings that are obsessed with describing some aspect of the kind of input that they're getting from the external world on themselves in this way, in very intelligent, varied ways, because the experience is varied, but the
right.
variety of way, the time period is vastly different. But the struggle is the same. I mean, you see formal differences, but if you look inside that, you'll see it actually drives the ideas. Even Beethoven has things where he's imitating sounds in nature and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear that Robert Johnson's doing the same thing, whether it's urban or it's human. It's just that
right.
the trappings of the form are a little different. So, you know, you kind of look inside that, you can see that this is the case.
You know? Yeah, it reminds me of somebody was saying that Beethoven, he was quoted as saying, if you could just see what's going on in my mind, you wouldn't even bother, you know, or I wouldn't bother, you know, trying to, I mean, this is like 1/10 of 1% of what's going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And And I feel the same way when I hear a Mockingbird. It's like, this is it. This mm-hmm. is the deal. How, you know, and I'm going back to this fretted instrument, trying to do this and that, and it's mm-hmm. cliche or contrived. And after hearing this symphony of pure nature, it's intimidating to me.